This is WCNO, listener-supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome. Hello, everyone. So listen, that my opening... I feel like I know everybody online right now. This is Luann Linnegan, and you're listening to Kingdom Recovery. It is that God has and did break those chains. I need to change that. I want to share
We're
that with
growing,
everybody.
Yeah.
I want to share that with everybody listening. So imagine, so I did that. How many years ago did we start this program? Several years ago, right? And that's the way I said it then. And it is about, you see how we can recognize those little subtle things? At the time I did it, I was like, yeah, that's like that. That's great. You know, I was writing it, Karen and I, and that was great for me. That's what I wanted to say. And then as I'm listening, I'm like, no, God has and did already break those chains. So we have to just come into that revelation in his word that he has done that already for us. And when we do... that's when we're made free. It's through the word and the truth. And the word is the truth. So the more we know him through his word, the more truth we can stand on and understand and start to walk in his wisdom. So, and we're going to be talking about faith today.
He but gives I'm authority with, over
yeah, that
chain
he gave us.
And sickness
amen.
And disease.
That's right.
Already.
He's broken them and he needs us to declare it and to walk in it and to speak his word over people who don't know also. And over ourselves first. We have to get that revelation with him together. You know, first me. And then once I get it, I'm more effective in helping someone else not only hear it from the word of God through me, but also see it in my life. But I'm with
James Rich.
Yeah, all right. There you go. I'm all a little like, you know, we're going in a different direction. So before we start the faith part of the third step, which is turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understand him, I want to make a couple announcements. So as I said, you're listening to WCNO 89.9. We're on every Friday live 90% and 99% of the time at 5 o'clock, Kingdom Recovery. And also we have every once a month, we have Pastor Tom come in, Pastor Tom from Treasure Coast Victory Center to do At the King's Table with Jesus. And Pastor Tom comes in and he teaches us kingdom mentality. And that's what we do here at Kingdom Recovery also, but he kind of expands also. And you can listen to him on mytcvc.com, and it's the Treasure Coast Victory Center website. You can listen to his sermons. There's other teachers that teach on Wednesdays and sometimes on Sundays, and you can look at the catalog in there. And also, if you want to hear more of Kingdom Recovery, if you miss a show or if you want to go back to something that we've already done, you can go on the website for WCNO. And listen to their library. They have a library, not only with our show, but all the shows that are on WCNO. And I want to let everyone know that. And if you have any questions or you weren't able to get all this information, you could always call me or WCNO. You can call me at 631-745-7980. I also have
literature, which is free from Pastor Tom. He's written 3 books now, and I would like to give them to anyone who's interested. It's What Now, Kingdom Now, and No More Bad Days is his daily readings that he did, you know, on the website with us and through emails, but now he put it together. One of the women in our church put it all together as a book, so you can have a daily word every day and a little description of what it is that the word is saying. So that's very helpful, too, for those who say, where do I start? What do I do? You know, you can start with right there on a daily word. So with that, also, I want to say I had women's this past Sunday, our ministry, and we welcome people. You know, call me if you're a woman and you want to participate in one of our women's meetings. We're more than happy to have you at Treasure Coast Victory Center and with Kingdom Recovery, because I do, I run it with Pastor's wife, Miss Becky. And we went to the Stewart Candle Company, and let me tell you, it was a wonderful experience interacting with other Christian women, not only from our church, but from other outside. They were invited. We invited some people, and they were also part of it. And it was just a lovely time, a great atmosphere. And Tara's a wonderful host, and I encourage people to go. It's a good activity. We were able to choose our own scents. It's amazing. You don't realize she doesn't label anything, so you don't know what you like. And then there's like several of them, and you're smelling them, and then you're mixing them. And it was a lot of fun. And everybody's different, you know? And then we shared a word, of course, and it was on Keep Your Candle Lit. So, and that, you know, the logs of our fire is the word and truth. And that's how Holy Spirit also activates too. You know, he gets inspired, bubbles up and out of us. And we do too. That's where the power comes from the word and the truth. And faith motivates, right? We were talking about that just a minute ago as we were talking about like what we were going to call today's teaching. And it takes the word and truth. The truth and the word together is the Holy Spirit power, basically, inside of us. And the more we have that, the more it will come to our remembrance when needed. You know, you might not think you're doing anything right now when you're reading in the morning or, you know, spending time with God during the day, whatever, and you're going through. But when you need that word, if you fill yourself up daily, it's a daily reprieve, fill yourself up daily, it will come as you need it. That's why we need to be prepared and keep the oil, you know, and you can have an overflow. We all need overflows because we're helping other people. So with that, I think I said enough of that, all that in. Let's start with faith in step 3. So made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. We started last week on this, and we are a living sacrifice to God. We turn our will, and that's our soul, and our life, and that's our body, our spirit being, and our body function over to God. And, you know, in Romans, and I'm just going to do a little, because we did a little bit of this, and then we'll get more deep into it, an outline of what we ended last week. Romans 12:1-2, it says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So faith, by faith we understand. That's in Hebrews 11. So how are we going to get renewed? By knowing the word. The word is what transforms our heart. And our heart is the spirit of who we are. And that, if we can either be in our spiritual nature or our sinful nature. And that's the battle in the soul. So your spirit is whole, but your soul is battling the flesh or the spirit, you know? And that's what it is. And there's only two natures that we are in conflict. And it's either we're going to go with our sinful nature or our spiritual nature. You want to say
amen?
Amen.
No,
Okay. So faith is needed to live. We live by faith, whether it's God
in the word of God, faith in God's word, or just in the worldly things. We live by faith. That's how we function. We don't always see, we believe even when we're driving. Think about that. It takes a lot of faith to drive, or especially around here. Especially with me on the road. No.
Well, you believe that people are going to stop at their red light.
Exactly. And you believe the lights are going to change, and, you know, you believe people are going to honor and respect the laws, you know, and do what they're expected to do as you're excited. That's very spiritual if you think about it. You know, it's like the way God wants us to behave in the kingdom of God. You know, if you're following things the way he designed it to be, you never have to worry. That's why he says, why do you worry? Why do you, you know, because if you're doing what he calls us to do, what he tells us, he gives us directions on how to function. I mean, he built us, he created us, he formed us. So he knows how to operate through us. He knows what we need, how to operate properly in this world, you know. So in order to put, and to put means to lay down, move to a particular position, and we want to turn our will and our life over to the care of God, right? Our will and our life in God's care, and that's the provision of God of what is necessary for our health, our welfare, to maintain and protect us, someone or something, from harm, right? He wants to be that person in our life, and he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us right here, right now, so that we always have him with us, okay? We need to know what we believe in. So there was a time when I didn't have, there was a time I didn't have the Holy Spirit living in me, and I believed in whatever it was I was. At first it was, you know, my parents, you know, I believed in what they were doing. And as I got older and I realized some of the stuff that they were doing was a little against what I wanted to do, then I got like maybe peer faith, you know, like what everybody else was doing. You don't know. You don't understand. Everybody's going to make fun of me. And so I put my faith in what other people were doing, you know, like my peers. And then maybe you have faith in your parents, doctors, and all these places. I had faith in drugs. I had faith in and then the best direction for me, I had faith in AA before I had faith in God. I said I had faith in God, but that's why I had a major relapse after double digits. I mean, thank God I've been sober way longer in my life than ever using.
Double digits meaning?
Oh, yeah. I had over 10 years. I had 11 years, and I relapsed when for a good, like, you would think it was over something horribly drastic, devastating. It was because we sold our company for a lot of money at a very early age. I got sober very early, and I got sober at 21. 11 years later, I had a relapse because we celebrated. And when my ex-husband today ordered, you know, because at that time there was no flavors. When I got sober, they didn't have flavored vodka and all that, right? So he's like, I just want you to bring carts. They were bringing carts of alcohol to the table. My brother was there. Everybody was there. And I'm looking at my brother. And I didn't get up that morning and plan to drink. I didn't. But the thing that I was threatened by was my higher power went from AA to Bob, my ex-husband. Because if I relied on him. He was my source. He was the person that if I didn't do what he was doing, then we would be apart, and then I would lose my family. And there's a whole scenario going on in my head. You know, I went through the whole thing, and I looked at my brother. I'm like, what am I going to do? And so I thought if I just have a sip of champagne, it wouldn't be so bad. But shortly after that, it was, you know, then you feel the guilt, shame, remorse, and then you're like, what the hell? I already messed up. And thank God. Thank you, Jesus. And I wasn't a born-again person, but God has a plan. And when he has a plan, he's going to give you opportunities to line up. And even though I didn't know him, I got sober right away, thank God, because I had kids and I had such a fear of, I guess my other one was not being a good mom. That was greater than losing everything else, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the things that we make our idols, and stuff like that. And we put our faith in, you know, and even that let me down in the long run, you know, and I found myself in a spiritual pit, in the pit of hell, actually, in the demonic pit of years later, you know, saying, I don't understand why I'm so miserable. I don't understand why this is happening in my life. And it wasn't like I was losing anything, but I was losing myself. I lost myself again. I found myself hitting that brick wall, and it didn't matter, you know, whether I was drinking or not drinking. It was an interior brokenness, you know? Mm-hmm. All the outside stuff couldn't fix it. So I had to, there was no other way, but, and I knew at that moment that what I was lacking was God first. I had God, but he wasn't first. Because when I went to went to one of the meetings, it was a prayer and meditation meeting, which is, I never even heard of a prayer and meditation meeting, to be honest with you, after I have over 30 years, you know, in the program. And I never heard of a prayer and meditation meeting, but that's what it was called. And when I looked at it, it was a 24-hour day book, which is a thought. It's like a meditation and a prayer. So, and that's what I got sober on in St. Francis in Fort Lauderdale. And so it was like I got brought right back full circle to where I left God at the altar, and I ran out wanting to get married, wanting to do this, all the worldly things, even though I was sober. You know, I left him in that chapel. And I said, okay, I got to get busy. I got to get to work here. And that's where he brought me right back to that place with him. And then I had to make a major decision to seek him and say, what is this? So, and I'm glad I did, because everything started making sense in my life. Even the 12 steps, I thought I knew them because I was, you know, I studied the big book. I did fourth step workshops. I was doing them, you know, teaching them. And I thought I knew God, but not in this intimate way. It was still through works. So in order for me to know his care, I never really stopped at the third step and really thought about what is God's care for me. I thought it was just don't drink and go to a meeting. I thought it was, you know, just don't try to be good. You just don't, you know, try to be nice to other people. Don't do the things you used to do. I didn't know that I can know him personally and what he has for me and how he loves me. I didn't know that. So that's why it's so important that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the first step, too. We have slogans. It says first things first. When I understood that, when I read that scripture for the first time, seek first the kingdom of God, I'm like, wait a minute. That's first things first. See? So he connected everything for me. And everything started to become real. You know? So we believe in something. And we have to question ourselves. What do we believe? Who do we believe in? And why do we believe in it? Right? So, and now, I believe God of the Bible, the Word, or the Word of God. And it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So Jesus is who I believe, what I believe, and how I believe I should be operating, I should be thinking, I should be speaking about, and being an example. So who do you say you are? Like when he said that to Peter, who do you say I am? It's how I declare myself too. If I declare myself sick, and that am I saying, then I'm saying I am is sick. I am is broken. I am is an alcoholic, and that's not who I am is. I am.
Amen.
Amen. I am. So who do you say I am is? Amen. So faith, complete trust, that's what it means, and confidence in someone or something. It's a belief, a conviction, a spiritual understanding. So either you have a spiritual understanding, and only the Holy Spirit can give you spiritual understanding. Jesus was telling Nicodemus that. As much as Nicodemus knew about the word, you know, the Torah and the Old Testament, he still didn't know spiritual things. You okay?
Yeah.
You couldn't hear?
It gets hot in there for some reason. I have to do that.
So in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says we walk by faith, not by sight. So our whole life is faith-based, whether we're faithing in the right thing or the wrong thing. So it's all faith-based. It's a thought first. It's an idea. Just as God had before creation, he thought about it. It was not manifested until he spoke it and he took action.
A lot of people don't realize, you know, when you start getting around deliverance, you start looking at your self-talk, what's going on in your head all day. You start recognizing things you never will recognize unless you start looking at that stuff and then seeing the patterns. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that you're in every day and you don't even know it.
That's right.
So that's where your real belief system is.
Yeah.
What do you really believe in?
Amen.
And it says you'll have what you say.
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying about yourself?
That's right.
What are you saying in your head about yourself? This ain't going to work out. Never works out.
Don't you wish you could record it and play it back to yourself? It's like, what did I just say to myself? Right.
Why would you say I'm delivered or I'm healed?
Yes.
I am free. That's why she said, don't say I'm an alcoholic. Say I'm delivered from alcoholism.
Amen.
And, amen. We've had people like the guy that came on the Zoom call, been delivered of crack cocaine and mm-hmm. alcohol, but mm-hmm. he could not get free of cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Been trying for what was like over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, just confess it. He's free. That every puff he takes, every time he lights it up, every puff, say, thank you, Lord, that you've delivered me of cigarettes. Because when you speak the word of God, the anointing backs up the word. The anointing don't back up junk. But speak the word. He already delivered us. So he already healed us. So thank you, Lord, I am healed. That's how I got my foot healed. Thank you, Lord, and my knee, actually. Thank you, Lord, I am delivered. And he came back in 2 weeks later. He came in on the Zoom call. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I'm off a cigarette.
That's right. And we've had a lot of miracles. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, there was someone else who would be nodding out, you know, and she kept showing up.
Yeah, she was asleep through the whole thing.
Because she was
and
getting
she
high.
Did
yeah.
get set free. And totally
amen.
And
now she's on fire. She helps people, women. It's just, I mean, all you have to do is show up.
We say nodding out. She would come in and she'd go in the bathroom and do drugs and come out and sleep through the whole thing. And every time I think, why is she even here? You know, she don't listen. She misses the whole thing. They wake up to leave.
And then meanwhile, she was listening.
Like an awesome woman of God. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Because the spirit doesn't sleep.
Amen.
Amen. Right. So who we, you know, we just let her be. And then, you know, God did the work.
Well, administrators do things, too. That's like a lot of people just want to come sit in my shop. Can I just sit here a little bit? Because they just get so much peace when they come in there.
Amen. Amen. Yep. And that's why even at church, you know, like let people just come in. They might not maybe be behaving the way we expect them to. But that might be the only place they feel peace. You know? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So, Ephesians 2:8-10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So it's nothing we can do. It's all what Jesus did for us, okay? But I have to know what he's done. I have to know him. I have to understand. That's where I get my understanding, by knowing what God has done for me to make me free, to give me the liberty and the deliverance, all of it. It's all been done. Everything you need, if you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, you have everything you need. He's the one that has it all. He's the one that raised Jesus from the dead. So, and he's in you today. The power is in you. Hallelujah. And Jesus said we would do greater things than him because there's more of him through the Holy Spirit in us, his spirit in us, than there is in just him here. So him dying and being buried in the ground and resurrected up, we buried many, 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 many seeds of Jesus that resurrect. Hallelujah. So you're a resurrected Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And you know, it's because everything's by faith, whether it's prophesying, healing the sick, casting out demons, it's all by faith. And that doesn't mean I don't get hit with wanting to cry out.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just know it don't work. I can't even say I never do it. I'm like, Lord, how much more could it take? But
I know
I've got to shift out of that or it's not going to work. I'm going to get buried in it.
And that's the difference when we know, right, then we're called to be the difference because we know the difference. And that's it. It's just like, okay, it's like sometimes even when I complain, I'm like, I'm wasting air.
You complain? No, I'm kidding.
You know, like it
You've gotten away with it. You just played all the time, to be honest.
I know.
Like, oh, my gosh.
I know. But sometimes, now that I know the difference, it's like I'm wasting my air right now on that.
And it feeds it.
It's dead. It's just dead.
And it feeds it.
Yes. And why am I doing that? Exactly. It's like I'm playing for the other team. I don't want to be doing that. And I catch myself because I'm like, why would I waste my time on that right now? You know? And then you switch it over.
And that's why people that complain got a lot to complain about, because the complaining is letting more spiritual attack, and then they're more complaining about it. They're living in a mess. They can just change their words.
Change your words.
That mindset again.
Amen. When you start giving thanks and worshiping and giving praise and thanks to God, all you got to do is start thanking Him. And I think that's why that's something I do a lot during the day. I say for no reason. Every reason is to thank God, you know, like everything. But sometimes people might think it's silly, but even like, thank you for the fork I have. You know, like little things.
I thank Him.
You know?
For hot water when I'm in the shower.
Yeah, you know, when I remember to do it, I do it. Even if it's the littlest thing, toilet paper.
I do too. Wow, that's weird.
You know what I'm saying?
I thought I was the only one.
No. So, and that's where, and because I have in the past, when I allow myself, even today, murmur and complain. You know, it's an old behavior that likes to creep in every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And I have to, because I'll do a laundry list as I'm walking around about what I do. And then I got to do that. And I used to do that a lot. Now I catch myself.
Praise God.
You know, before I fall deep into the pit. Thank you, Jesus.
That testimony with Thurman, that lady that didn't walk one step in 7 years, and they had repented everything, and they've now murmuring and complaining, and then she got totally healed.
Amen.
That really woke me up.
Yes. It's real, and it's scripture. So, by faith, you are saved, you are healed, you're made whole. And this is when I say by faith, because if I don't believe it, it's by faith I believe, you know what I mean? Like the word of God. By the word of God, I'll say, you've been made, healed, whole, renewed, redeemed, restored, saved. Everything you need is in you. But if you don't have the faith in His word, in those areas that you might need it, your finances, your parenting, your job, your whatever it is, addictions, you know, then you're going to believe the lie. And get attacked, basically. You know, and more you're constantly feel like you're going in this horrible cycle. It's something in the faith.
Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And, you know, you can get pumped up. And actually, people move out sometimes. Man, I had so much faith that night after leaving that meeting. But it's really just they got pumped up and they did things they wouldn't normally do. And that's why they seen the miracles they saw. They can see the miracles when they're not feeling that.
And by faith, you got reborn. You're born again by faith. You know heaven exists. You know hell exists by faith. You don't. It's the substance of things not seen but hoped for. Things hoped for but not seen. Right. So, John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." That's the truth in the word, and that's where if I have faith in the truth and the word, then I have the power that God gave me, the authority to speak and move mountains. And mountains are situations in my life. I don't, even though they're happening, I don't have to participate the way I used to. It looks different. It's letting the spiritual nature
lead and direct you, and not the sinful nature, the natural man, but let the spirit man in you lead you and guide you, spirit to spirit, walk by spirit, right, in spirit. So word and truth is the truth which makes you free, okay? The logs that fire power, the Holy Spirit, and in you, the spirit man. So John 8:31-32 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And making is different than setting. I know we say different ways. The Bible, there's different wording, but to be made is created. It's God uses the original creation to create, so it's He's making you in your original, in the original state, which is free. You know, that Adam and Eve were not worrying about things until they fell.
There was no fear.
There was no fear. There was no, you know, they didn't.
No condemnation. None of it. No guilt. Amen. No worry.
Praise God.
No worry is fear. We rename fear. 60% of Z's are from fear.
That's right.
So we call it stress, and now we got the stress disorder.
Or anxiety, or, yeah, depression. You know, we put it all under that big umbrella.
Wisdom. Yeah. Wisdom, brother. You should.
Yeah.
People with fear always use that wisdom word a lot in their fear, reasons for having that fear.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So faith is what motivates. Truth is what empowers. Okay. John 16:12-13 says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Thank God, because thank God he knows us. However, when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and you will not speak on, and he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Praise the Lord, because if I knew even just a little bit of the journey to get to this place where I'm sitting right now, I probably would have drank. Got high, did something crazy, just not to walk through all of it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to be easy, but if you walk by faith, he makes every step possible, you know? Hallelujah. And that's why we're not supposed to know all of it. He knows all of it. If we trust him, he'll lead us to the victory. We know the victory. We might not know how it all lays out to get to that final destination of whatever situation you're going through, or, you know, relationship, whatever it is, financial. But he does. And if you trust him, he'll get you to the other side. And that's spending time with him, you know, and praising and worshiping, even when it's ugly. Even when it feels like, how can I do that right now? It's not about feelings. It's about facts, truth, you know, and we want to, the sinful nature, the natural man wants to operate through feelings. And that's how the enemy knows we're more comfortable doing. So he wants to manipulate us in that area. Okay? But the spirit man operates through truth. And only truth. Facts. And the word is truth. So, let me just say, where are we? Speak on authority. Okay. So Romans 10:16 says, faith comes by hearing. James was just saying that. And hearing by the word of God. Spiritual nature hearing. Heart hearing. Okay, we have a whole spiritual set of senses that we need to start paying attention to. They're more real. They give us more of reality awareness than our natural senses. Oh, God, that's so good, right? Mm. Our natural senses can lie to us at any moment, you know? So Jesus promises another helper, and this is where the Holy Spirit, we talked about the Holy Spirit in depth as far as step two. It's very important to know him and know who he is and what he wants to do in you and for you and with you, okay, in your life. So John 14:15-16 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is direction from God.
And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So the Holy Spirit, he, when we say words like, you remember there was that thing on Facebook, Holy Spirit, activate. Without obedience, the Holy Spirit is not going to, we have to be obedient to the word of God, and the Holy Spirit activates. That's how he manifests out through us. Okay. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit that motivates us, that gives us the hope and the faith that we desire. It's the same thing when I first went into a rehab. I never knew any, first of all, I didn't even understand that. I didn't know what that was. And then I went in and there were people graduating from, like, some of them were there 90 days. And I'm like, 90 days? They were here for 90 days and they didn't escape? Because I was already thinking about how I was getting out of that place. So that was like a miracle in itself. I'm like, whoa, if they can do that, then maybe I can. And I'll never forget the first meeting I had, like group meeting. The counselor said, look to your left and look to your right. Only one of you are going to make it. And let me tell you, I was determined. I'm competitive. I was just like, I'm not leaving. Amen. You know, God knows how to speak to us. He knows us. He knew exactly that would get me to be motivated to stay and to win in my mind. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So praise the Lord. So by admitting the truth about ourselves is step one. That's the first step. If I don't think I have a problem, if I think I'm perfect and my whole life is good and everything's okay and I'm a good person and everything, and I don't need, you know, God, or then I'm delusional. It even says that in the first step. It's admit you're powerless over your sinful nature, we'll say, or your natural being, and your life is unmanageable. And then the second step says, came to believe in a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. So that tells me right there, like, there's some cuckoo stuff going on without God. Mm-hmm. You know, we need God. He's the one that makes us sound. Hallelujah. So Mark 10:51-52 says, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that which means master, spiritual instructor, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I believe the same thing happened to Saul. He didn't have his sight for 3 days. I believe, you know, I was blind my whole life, you know, as far as not seeing spiritual things as they truly are.
Everybody is.
Exactly. This is very real for every person. We're all blind until we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the mysteries of the spiritual realm that we need to know. Because the enemy wants us to be blind, because then we don't see the attack. We don't even understand it. You know, and he can manipulate generational curses. I mean, the ignorance is his goal. It's what he wants us to stay in. He doesn't want us reading. He doesn't care if you're saved. As long as you don't read the word, you don't follow Jesus, you know what I mean? He doesn't care if you're saved. He cares that he gets to manipulate you and keep you fallen. Ooh, and suffering. So Luke 18:42 says, then Jesus said to him, revive your sight. Your faith has made you well. So it's faith that brings us enlightenment. Light and lighting up our inside, our heart, to see God, to see, listen, even to see correctly the demonic realm. I mean, you know, we could see how dangerous it really is and how glorious God's realm, you know, heaven realm is. So, you know, at first, I know for myself, I thought, it was cool to be a witch. I did. You know, I was distorted. I was manipulated. I was deceived. And I thought, well, or a psychic or, you know, someone that can tell you, oh, I heard or I saw this. And I, you know what I mean? Like, that was cool. And I encouraged my kids to do that. So, you know, and I still thought, I love God. But it was cuckoo crazy. There you go. All right. I was out of my mind.
Thank God it didn't get deep.
Amen.
It's like a familiar spirit. If that would have come and you started really hitting it on the head and got a big following, it'd have been really harder to come. It's harder for people to give up that when they got a reputation in it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You had a chain of psychic networks and you were like,
yeah.
It's hard for people.
Come to the house and we did some things, you know, because, yeah. And, you know, out of all my kids, my Anna was very much into that too as a young girl, and her friends would come over and she would be able to, you know, do things. And she's so close to God. It's so amazing, our conversations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's a miracle. So they're all a miracle. Everybody, you're a miracle listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're a miracle. Amen. So how did I get faith? And that's through step two, by hearing daily. Even faith in the program, you know, like they want us to be able to at least be in a better direction than we were in. And then the goal of even 12-step programs or therapy should be, I know the goal for 12-step programs is for you to get an intimate individual relationship with the one true God. Unfortunately, there's man-made ideas that come in and kind of distort the original plan. Same thing happened with Adam and God's original plan. So it's, you know, just the cycle of this fallen world. But the original plan is that we come to Jesus. We all come to Jesus. I really believe that. I mean, Bill W. and Dr. Bob, they were Christians and they believed Jesus, you know, and that's the foundation of the program. And, got a little distorted through the years, but that's the facts. That's the way it started. So when we do go back to the original purpose of everything in life, the original purpose of everything in life is to lead us to Jesus. Okay? But things get distorted. When we do get to that place in everything in our life where Jesus is the center, it flows. It makes sense. It works. Now the program works for me. I'm not miserable. I'm not, you know, like, I don't think every day, oh my God, I can't, you know, I got to do this. No, it's just a natural way to live with Jesus. Everything becomes a lot easier. You're not bound by works or thoughts of guilt, shame, remorse. You're free. I just live my life. It's peaceful. Even though there's, believe me, there's crazy and chaos in certain areas, but I can always have stay in the peace, you know, through the chaos. Amen. So, like I said earlier, and it does say in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So hearing, when we say and hearing, what kind of hearing? Spiritual hearing, okay? We can hear lots of things. Spiritual hearing is different. And that only comes through the word of God. You know, he says he wants to reveal things. He's not going to tell the enemy his secrets. It's like, why would a king tell the enemy his plans? Right? There's probably mysteries and secret codes. And to be honest with you, when I would read the Bible before I knew Christ the way I know him today, I was confused. It was just a book. It was a confusing book. I would rather somebody else read it and tell me about it. You know, today I can read, because of spending the time, I can read any interpretation of the Bible and know and understand it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, in a deeper way. Hallelujah. And that's for you too. Everybody listening, you have the same ability. the same ability to do the same things Jesus did, to do what I'm explaining, how my life has transformed or turned around, or when, you know, I was confused when in the beginning, and now I have a little more clarity. And every day it's a growing experience. Every day there's something new that God wants to do in you, through you, for you, with you, and to you. Okay? So don't miss it. Spend time with him. Give yourself to him. For even if it's, you know, like I do a lot of things with the Lord today, not only for myself, but for the community. And mostly everything I do, you know, it's something to do with ministry or, you know, something like that. And I would, in the beginning, and I was like, how am I going to have time to do all this? Like, I was really busy. But I was busy doing nothing. A lot of nothing. I was busy. And God made time. He did it. I just said, okay, I'll read this every morning. And then from that, I made a commitment to do Kingdom Recovery at my house. And then that needed preparation. I was like, how am I going to be able to do this every Thursday? At first, it was like, I think on Tuesdays, and cook and find time. Where am I going to do all this? And God did it. It's the same thing when I went to New York and I was helping my daughter. It was definitely God time. God, it was like I got a lot of stuff done in, I guess, world time. But God was able to miraculously do a lot of stuff in that time that I had there that I couldn't have done without him. You know, I put worship music on. I invited him in every little task that I did. And I know it sounds like a lot, but even if, when I say I invite him in every little task, it's not like I have to make this big old, like, okay, God, no. I'm doing something. I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Just that one little thing, and that might be the only thing I say for an hour of what I had to do, or 2 hours. That's an invitation. And he says, oh, you opened the door for me? All right, I'm here. You know, that's it. It's not I had to spend an hour in prayer and say, God, I'm going to do this thing today and I need you to be. No, it's just a simple thought, or like I said, maybe putting on music and, you know, put it through the house when I was doing something. Just little things like that. So, and that's what he is for everybody. That's what he wants.
I know a guy that, I don't know him, but there's a guy that's, he's led like maybe 100,000 Muslims, and God sends him over there. Amen. But just gives him what to say. The government actually uses him, but he wouldn't take any money. He said, because I can only say what God says, and I have to wait till he tells me what to do. But he tells his kids, though, and I thought that's pretty good, because they'll say, God will answer you. But when you're sitting there trying to get an answer, he said, I'll tell my kids. He's like, I said, just ask God, go push a broom.
Amen.
Start pushing that broom. Your mind just gets totally off. And all of a sudden he tells you.
Yes.
I'm like, that's the way it happens for me. Because he would actually speak to me going down the racetrack at 3 G's at my carpool. It's pretty intense. And I'd be trying to figure out what's wrong with it. I can't do it. And praying and not getting none. And going down the track, he'd show me. I was like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Praise God. So Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So even though, you know, it's not like this repetitious thing, it's just, you know, I'm doing something. Or I'm getting ready to do something and I'm like, God, show me what you want me to do. Or just invite him in. And that's all you have to do. And he will show up and he will start talking. Like you said, James, it seems like when I get consumed, when I'm doing something and I'm relaxed in my mind, that's when it's like, boom, you know.
And that's why he talks when you wake up sometimes.
Yes.
Because your mind's clear. He's trying to get in.
Yeah.
You can even be trying to hear him, but your mind's not clear.
That's right. You're distracting yourself from him. Amen. So kingdom of God as it is in heaven here on earth is what the faith is in the Bible, the faith. You know, they talk about, are you of the faith? Are you following the faith, right? The truth, the way. So God's truth is the faith, his word, and that which is according accordance with fact and reality. His word is reality. You know, people will say, well, that was then and this is now. No. Everything in the word of God is now, is for right now. We're in a now kingdom. The Holy Spirit is now in us. We're writing a now testament, not a new testament. We have the old, the new, a now testament. We're writing a now testament as we live our lives, because there's going to be a new earth and there's going to be a now testament. Praise the Lord.
They have a Bible then. I wonder if they have like the Old Testament, the New Testament, the newer New Testament.
Yeah, or the now testament. Yeah.
The one for now. And say, yeah. Then will it be the newest testament? Yeah. Uh-huh. That will be newer than the new.
So what Jesus Christ has done for us, his life, his death and resurrection, this is what the faith is about, our faith should be about, okay? Bible faith is about having confidence in God's promises and being an example of his word in the flesh. People, you might be the only Bible that people hear, you know? So make it big, you know, when you're talking to someone. You don't have to say, oh, the word says, or it is written. You could just say, by his stripes, you're healed. If someone's saying something about, they got a report, or, you know, you could tell them your testimony. That's what the faith is about. It's about going out there and spreading the good news about what God can do in their life and what he has already done in your life. By faith. So, example of the flesh. Okay, faith in God is not blindly putting our trust into anything in the world. We don't just put our trust in worldly things. I always say, God, is this what you would have me do? God, is this way what you would have me, even spending my money? You know, have a relationship. Let God be leading and guiding your finances, and watch the shift that can happen in your life, especially if you're struggling in finances. The biggest thing is tithing. That's a way to release. When we sow, we can grow. You know, but if we stay stagnant and we're not planting our seeds, which is could be finances in certain things, especially if you're interested in certain things, sow into those things. You know, I always share the story, like, I'm not married. Oh, I'm married to Jesus, but I'm not naturally married to someone, but I wanted to learn how to be a good wife to Jesus and what a family is and what a marriage is. So I sowed into a marriage ministry and took the curriculum. I took their course to learn what the word says about marriage. And I feel really like a healthy wife to God. You know, someone that, and then when I do kind of think messed up or say messed up, I repent and say, I know better than that, Lord. You know, that's not the way I want to treat you or anyone, especially a husband. So, and I had to learn that even as a natural single woman, but spiritually married to Christ. When God brings someone, I'm prepared as a wife. Hallelujah. That's what he wants all of us to be doing. Okay. And even if you're having marital problems right now, sow into something biblically sound, foundational marriage, a biblical marriage program or something where you can get the word and build yourself up, yourself, not the other person. Build yourself up. And as you change and transform, if the other person wants to do it with you, that's even better. But if that person doesn't, or you don't want, you know, you don't know how to approach that, do it for yourself and let your heart change. Because when your heart changes, then you'll see differently the situation. And you might be a little bit more merciful or understanding, or you might even be able to make better decisions independently if it's a dangerous situation. I don't know, but if you want more, you know, if you want to talk about that, you can always call me, 631-745-7980, if you need to share something. So you have been told, and this is Matthew 5. Jesus always says, it's been said, you've been told this, but I say this. It's a new way of thinking. He wants to try to renew our mind into a new way of thinking. So I'm going to end with this, but we're going to probably review it when I get back next week, and then I'm going to be gone for a while, James. But you're going to be here, and so is Pasta, and I'm going to miss everybody. I'm actually going to be a grandmother, so I'm excited. So I'm going to – my daughter actually wants me to spend a lot of time with them to teach and help her, you know, do things that no one in my family did when I was, you know, I was starting doing. So I have the information and the experience, which is really sweet that I'm able to spend this time with her and her husband. And they want me there, you know. That's a blessing. Because I already said to her, I'm not there to change your way or do, you know, this is just, as you ask me, I'm there to help you. I'm there to help and serve. And that's my purpose. And I'm not there to try to convince you to do it my way or anything. And I already said all this because I wanted it to be known that there should be peace through this whole thing, you know. And I have to remember that every day when I wake up. Like, I'm not here to change anything, you know. And that made me accountable by saying it to her. And that's why it's important that we confess and we talk and we become transparent. Because if I do start doing something like that, she could say, Mom, didn't you say? And then I have to be like, oh, yes, you're right. You know, that's why it's important that we have fellowship with one another. Because then we're not hiding. You know, we can be transparent. So in Matthew 5, and maybe everybody should read Matthew 5, because that's the Beatitudes and the instruction on how to live the spiritual nature life. That's God. That's Jesus. That's his will and testament here on earth. Without him saying that here on earth, it wouldn't be sealed. So I'm glad that I didn't get more into it. So read Matthew 5. And with that, James is going to just pray really quick. Sorry, James.
That's okay. If anyone listening in and you don't know the Lord and you're being tugged in your heart, you'd like to come to have a relationship with God. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, Jesus died for your sins and rose the third day, and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So just repeat after me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
And I know you rose the third day.
And I know you rose the third day.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
And save me.
And save me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And Father, I ask you, fill them with your Holy Spirit and power. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We agape all of you. And we'll be back next week, Kingdom Recovery, WCNO, 5 p.m. Shalom, shalom.
Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. Heaven and earth adore your name. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go. Your word remains the same. You are there before creation. Ancient.